There was a sharp phut, no louder than a bubble of air escaping from a tube of toothpaste. No other noise at all. And suddenly Le Chiffre had grown another eye, a third eye on a level with the other two, right where the thick nose started to jut out below the forehead. It was a small, black eye, without eyelashes or eyebrows. For a second the three eyes looked out across the room, and then the whole face seemed to slip and go down on one knee. The two outer eyes turned trembling up towards the ceiling. Then the heavy head fell sideways, and the right shoulder, and finally the whole upper part of the body lurched over the arm of the chair, as if Le Chiffre were going to be sick. But there was only a short rattle of his heels on the ground, and then no other movement. The tall back of the chair looked impassively out across the dead body in its arms. There was a faint movement behind Bond. A hand came from behind and grasped his chin and pulled it back. For a moment Bond looked up into two glittering eyes behind a narrow black mask. There was the impression of a crag-like face under a hat brim, the collar of a fawn Macintosh. He could take in nothing more before his head was pushed down again.
"You are fortunate," said the voice. "I have no orders to kill you. Your life has been saved twice in one day. But you can tell your organization that Smirsch is only merciful by chance or by mistake. In your case, you were saved first by chance, and now by mistake, for I should have had orders to kill any foreign spies who are hanging round this traitor like flies round a dog's mess. But I shall leave you my visiting card. You are a gambler. You play at cards. One day perhaps you will play against one of us. It would be well that you should be known as a spy."
Steps moved round to behind Bond's right shoulder. There was the click of a knife opening. An arm in some grey material came into Bond's line of vision. A broad, hairy hand emerging from a dirty white shirt cuff was holding a thin stiletto like a fountain pen. It poised for a moment above the back of Bond's right hand, immovably bound with flex to the arm of the chair. The point of the stiletto executed three quick, straight slashes. A fourth slash crossed them where they ended, just short of the knuckles. Blood in the shape of an inverted M welled out and slowly started to drip onto the floor. The pain was nothing to what Bond was already suffering, but it was enough to plunge him again into unconsciousness. The steps moved quietly away across the room. The door was softly closed. In the silence, the cheerful, small sounds of the summer's day crept through the closed window. High on the left-hand wall hung two small patches of pink light. They were reflections cast upwards from the floor by the zebra stripes of June sunshine, cast upwards from the two separate pools of blood a few feet apart. As the day progressed, the pink patches marched slowly along the wall, and slowly they grew larger.